Good morning, and welcome to Lopes on Movies. My name is Joey Lopes, and today I am joined by Connor.
Good morning.
How you doing, Connor? What's going on? How's your January been? We are about halfway through the first month of 2024. Feels like it's gone by so fast. How about you? What are you feeling similarly?
We're off to a new year. I'm done with the Happy New Year's. I don't really say Happy New Year, honestly. But now I think it's already too far gone to say that.
Wasn't that an episode of Curb? Like somebody said Happy New Year to Larry in like February or something.
No. I think that was a Seinfeld thing when Elaine and Jerry were talking. I got Happy New Year in March or something. Something like that.
I think that there might also be. He might have brought that back there? On Curb.
Maybe that's just Larry who just really hates that.
That sounds like something that would weigh on him for
speaking
for many
of
years.
Of Larry. I did see the commercial for the what they're saying is the final season of Curb Your Enthusiasm coming out very soon.
Yeah, they are being unambiguous about it being the final season this time. So I don't know. I feel like this might actually be the last season of Curb. So it's sad. It's sad to see it go, but it's pretty much the last TV show that I'm still watching.
It's one of those shows that is just that one. I don't think will ever get stale. He could actually make that show for as long as the rest of his life is, and it would still be just brilliant.
He's just one of the all time great funny guys. And he's his observational comedy is the best there's ever been. So it's going to be a shame when it's gone because nothing can replace that voice, you know? Well, we got a couple of things to talk about today. I actually have managed to maintain watching a movie every day this year so far, as I've talked about in previous episodes. And some of those movies, believe it or not, actually are new releases, which is pretty crazy. Not just digging through the Criterion Channel. Although last week I did watch like five Japanese films from like the 50s and 60s. We're not going to talk about those today, but everybody should watch movies by, Kurosawa and Ozu, the greats of Japanese cinema. Maybe someday we'll talk about that. But today we have, bigger, more important things to talk about, which is, of course, some new release movies. So the main thing we're going to talk about is a little bit later in the episode, which is the movie Anatomy of a Fall, which, Connor, you had seen a long time ago in theaters. I just got the chance to see it recently because it is actually on demand now, which is great. So you can find it in a lot of different places. This is definitely going to be a big award season contender and for a lot of things, but especially for the lead performance from Sandra Hüller. So definitely one to check out for that reason, if nothing else. But before we get to that, Connor, we have a very important movie to talk about that you saw and are going to give a very, very quick review of, because I know that people are just dying to hear what we think about The Beekeeper.
Oh, yeah. Jason Statham is back. So here's the, I'm not even unironic about this. I love these Jason Statham movies. I think the last one I saw was also came out around this same time last year. I didn't look this up, but I think it did. What was it? I think you saw it too. Another one where he just plays a guy who is a man with no name kind of character who just, is the big action star. He's the guy that gets all of the Schwarzenegger and Stallone roles now.
A couple of years ago he was in that that Guy Ritchie movie Wrath of Man.
That's the one I was thinking
actually,
of.
That's a real movie though. That's not even like just a dumb January movie. That movie was actually pretty good. Starring Jeffrey Donovan.
We didn't say that The Beekeeper wasn't very good. It was The Beekeeper is great for what it is. Like just it's a society. He plays an ex beekeeper who are the people who keep the world in order when all of your laws and government fails, and they take the law into their own hand and justice into their own hand and do what they believe needs to be done because you can't he has to protect the hive.
But he is in fact a real beekeeper too, though, right? Like he does keep bees.
Yes, yeah. Every beekeeper also keeps bees.
So every person in the secret society called the beekeepers for you know, metaphorical reasons, is also a literal beekeeper.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So okay. The movie starts off with he's out of the work of being a beekeeper. They got a new beekeeper who's doing all the that thing. They kind of work kind of independent of, you know, the government, I guess. And he's at this, he's keeping his bees. He's renting some land from a older lady who gets scammed by online one of those things that pop up. Oh, you have all these viruses. You need to click this.
Yeah, right, right, right.
And she ends up getting all of her money and life savings drained, and she commits suicide after it. And that sparks our hero, Jason Statham, the beekeeper, former beekeeper, I guess, into action to track these people down. And then, of course, this leads to that the main bad guys are tied all the way to the top of the government. So, but he's the beekeeper, so he's gonna bring it down. So,
wow, okay.
It is a totally fine, fun, goofy action movie with some really cheesy, bad special effects, but it doesn't bother you when you're watching it.
Well, you know what you're getting into when you're going to see a Jason Statham movie called The Beekeeper. I feel like everybody that goes to see that movie knows exactly what they're getting into.
Yep, and you got a nice performance from Jeremy Irons in this also.
Oh, okay.
Yep, who plays kind of like the guy who's trying to take down the beekeeper. So like it eventually gets all the way to the top of this society of scammers, I guess. And he's kind of the protector of them, like, and he's okay. He knows that they're kind of screwed in this situation, but he's still trying to come up with all the plans to kind of stop the beekeeper, but we all know. Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, once Jason Statham gets going, you know, it's there's no way out, obviously.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So that's The Beekeeper.
Yeah, I would check it out. It seems like it's decent fun movie for an afternoon at the movies. You know,
totally fine. Good action. You know, good enough action, I guess I should say. we're not watching John Wick or anything here. It's but perfectly fine.
Probably not going to win any awards like the movie that we're going to talk about after we're done here, which we are, called Anatomy of a Fall. So Connor, like I said, you saw Anatomy of a Fall quite a while ago and kept raving about it and telling me I had to see it. Finally, I got the chance to see it. So I'm pretty excited to talk about this with you because I know that you've been sitting on this for, man, it was weeks at this point, you know, over a month probably. I mean, you saw this a while ago, right?
I have.
All right, so I will go ahead and do the synopsis for this one. So this is called Anatomy of a Fall. It is a French movie directed by Justine Triet, and here is the synopsis. A woman is suspected of her husband's murder, and their blind son faces a moral dilemma as the main witness. That's actually not bad. That's fairly accurate for the IMDb synopsis. I'll give them a B+ on that one. So this stars Sandra Hüller in the lead role, Swan Arlod, and Milo Machado Grainer as the son, Daniel, which I point that out because he's probably one of the main characters. It's him and Sandra Hüller's characters that are like, you know, everybody's talking about their performances and just how strong of performances they're giving in this movie. He probably won't get any awards attention because he is a kid, but Sandra Hüller, of course, will definitely be nominated for Best Actress. I don't remember if she must have been nominated at the Golden Globes, right?
I think, yeah. She did. She didn't win. It went to Lily Gladstone. But
And I think Lily Gladstone's probably the front runner in a lot of ways for the Oscars as well at this point, but no, Sandra Hüller will definitely be nominated. All right, so Connor, you've been sitting on this one for a long time, like I said, so where are you at with Anatomy of a Fall? I know this is kind of like, you know, your kind of movie.
Yes, yeah, I mean, I made it very clear that this is a movie that I love. It's my favorite movie of all of last year, pretty easily, I think. It's such a smart movie that every single moment at least for me, you're constantly analyzing and thinking on so many levels, on just what's happening in the trial. I obviously love procedural courtroom dramas. Like, I wanted to be, I was interested in law, you know, when I was in undergrad, I didn't go that route, but always been fascinated by that kind of thing. It is everything that you could want in that kind of story, and then more, with a whole other element of basically analyzing a marriage. It kind of puts a marriage on trial, and how it's like messy, and how there aren't real truths or facts like in these kind of things. Because essentially, what you're analyzing through this is your impression of what you feel like is happening, or what you're what you, based on the reactions that you're getting from Sandra Euler, like what you're just analyzing, like the way she feels, like whether or not she's guilty or not. If fact based is both sides can be part of this. Did she kind of push him to his death, or did he fall, or did he commit suicide? Like what actually happened? And the analysis from the trial, both sides, like if this movie was just say just a regular legal drama where it's two sides of top lawyers going at it and debating facts, it could still be very fascinating. But the fact that it adds that whole element of like the marriage in there is just so strong and great. And I think the title is of course related to my all-time favorite movie, which is Anatomy of a Murder. Is definitely a play on that, but from Otto Preminger. So this, like I was saying, like Anatomy of a Murder is very interesting because it takes a very serious case of a murder of someone who kills an innkeeper, I believe it was, who rapes his wife, it's actually Jimmy Stewart who is the lawyer who's defending him, with claiming that he had temporary insanity when he committed the murder. What's so interesting about that is you're dealing with such an intense emotional thing that you would think his wife is raped, but the characters are so cold, and he is too, and the performances, it's just the facts. And you get this weird emotion from it. This movie is the opposite of that, where the emotion is everything in this. The key witness is the son of the Sandra Euler and her husband, who is the one who fell to his death. And he has this moral crisis of while also being blind, not seeing it directly, having to kind of hear everything that's happening in the trial and kind of go off of what his impression of everything that's happening is. And like kind of draw back on his history. It's so emotional. It's so good. You're analyzing. I mean, Sandra Euler, I think it's the best performance I've seen. I saw last year, really. Like just watching her and trying to analyze, like, is this how I would react in this kind of circumstance? Like, obviously, you need to be more broken up. But how do you analyze how someone copes with some kind of thing like this? Did she do it? Is this reaction a normal kind of reaction? It's fascinating. Exactly. Fascinating movie. Yeah. I could go on about this movie all day. What did you think?
No, yeah, for sure. No, I'm with you on everything. I think that it's I enjoy these movies that put you in the position of, like, being a member of the jury, where it's not this is very clear from the outset, I think, and including in like all the film's advertising, that you're not going to get a clear answer. You're not going to know if she did it or not by the end of the movie. And that's a large part of the point, because that's kind of how it would be in any situation like this, where there's just not enough evidence to say for sure. And of course, like, the movie could have shown us the moment of his death, right? And given us as the audience the knowledge of what happened as a just sort of like plot reward, but it doesn't do that. Instead puts you in that position of jury member, where you have to just review everything and kind of draw your own conclusion about what's happening. But even beyond just like drawing your own conclusion, you also just kind of have to accept the fact that it's impossible to know for sure, and what that means for the characters in the movie and how they kind of move on with their lives going forward. and how they get through this trial, which is just absolutely brutal, especially for the kid. And there's some really great cinematography in the trial that it kind of frames the proceedings sort of from the kid's perspective a little bit, like not directly, but you see reactions of him a lot, but you also often see Sandra Hüller's character framed in like these really, really long lens shots where you're also seeing her son's kind of head in the foreground. So there's so much of this movie that you're asked to kind of interpret from his perspective and try to figure out sort of, ultimately it hinges on him and kind of his decision that he has to make towards the end about not so much what does he think happened, but what is he going to have to choose about what he thinks happened, you know, like, right. Because it's not about, you know, knowing, it's about just kind of living with not being sure, but making a choice anyway. And I think that's very strong. But even like beyond that, which I think is great for the characters, and just on a character level, it's really strong that level of having to decide whether or not to trust your mother, I think is a very strong like character thing for those characters. But even just on a very base level, I find this movie very fun to think about just because of that jury aspect, because everybody's going to come away from this thinking slightly differently about what they saw. And I think you could have some very fun conversations with people just on that level of like, well, what do you think? Do you think she did it? Do you think, mm-hmm. like, what is your impression of everything? And that's like, I don't necessarily think that's the point of the movie, because I think it's more important the analysis of the character relationships and analysis of the marriage and the situation that led to this stuff happening. But it is so precise and shows you so much of the trial and so much information that you very easily could kind of draw your own conclusions about what's going on and what you personally think, which I think is a fun thing. Like, this strikes me as a movie that would be very, very fun to talk about with people just on that level.
Maybe there is an answer, maybe there isn't, but I know that Justine Triet, the director, made it a very clear point to not tell Sandra Hüller whether or not her character was guilty or innocent, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. adds to the performance too. Because if she knew one way or the other, it might kind of add to her performance in some way, you know? Right, so yeah. Now to keep the ambiguous nature still, it adds to it some more, which makes it even more interesting when you're kind of hearing all the, because you're hearing the facts as much as they have, and they go into every single detail that could have possibly happened that for mm-hmm. this on both sides. And they even have, we don't see what happened, but we see reenactments of what happened essentially, or hypotheticals of both scenarios, and both look completely plausible. It's so much more than that. And then another aspect that's so interesting about this is, she is the movie takes place in France, and she mm-hmm. is an immigrant to France. So mm-hmm. She's German. She speaks three languages, and she uses all three languages throughout the film. Her husband is French. They met, I think mm-hmm. they met in London or something, because they're both authors. They're both public figures mm-hmm. too, which is another aspect to it. So obviously mm-hmm. the director, Justine Triet, was inspired by these loosely at least, by these large public trials with, you know, OJ, Amanda Knox, like whatever, mm-hmm. whatever have you of something that goes so public where people know who they are too. So it's even bigger story in the media and everything. But anyway, so she speaks three languages. They meet in London. So her first language is not French, but yet when you're on trial in France, you should be speaking French, right? And she's, mm-hmm. she tries to at some point, but she's not able to articulate the nuance to, because that's what all this is. There's so much nuance that has to be spoken, and she can't do it in French because it's not her first language necessarily. Right. She's fluent, but it might not be perfect enough to get mm-hmm. it through. And even her lawyer, who's also amazing, Swan Arlaud, like I've never seen him in anything, but he's tremendous. He plays this kind of, it's such a, I don't know how to describe it. It's such like a haunting kind of, I don't know, maybe haunting's not the right word, but like affectionate, strange, but like mm-hmm. deeply intelligent kind of performance as mm-hmm. her friend, her longtime friend that's been in this. She tells him, or he tells her that you have to speak French in there, but she just couldn't. Mm-hmm. She can't articulate it. And their compromise in their relationship, her and her husband, was that they would speak English at the house because that was a compromise. You know, he's French, she's German. They'll speak English. They both speak English. So that's the language that they'll use. So you're going between all the languages throughout the film. It's so that adds a whole nother dynamic to it also, because you're not if you're in if you're a jury member, say, like watching this, and you're not even able to hear her say everything in French. And then
because it's going through a translator, and then it ends up like you're not entirely like there's levels of disconnect that make the trial more challenging.
Yes. It's so fascinating to add that dynamic. And I did enjoy seeing a legal proceeding in another country also. It's very interesting
like
it goes.
I like that you mentioned how Anatomy of a Murder is so cold and like calculated, and is this sort of very, very much a view of the American justice system. Whereas what a lot of people have come away from watching this is like, wow, the French justice system is kind of insane. And like sure, this is a movie, like who knows how real it is, but like the lawyers in this, especially the prosecutor, like there's some really wild stuff that happens in this trial. It almost feels like anything goes, and it's so like heightened and like they get so passionate and like it's really funny to see. Now, the prosecutor is like such a good character because of that.
Oh yeah,
like as soon as he shows up, like he just immediately imposes his presence upon everybody with how like kind of glib and smug and arrogant he is. Even that adds a dimension to it, because like when I was watching, I was like, oh my god, this guy, you serious? But like it kind of puts you on her side a little bit, because this guy is so aggressive and so everything that he says because comes off as so like smug. But that's just another layer of disconnect from the facts, right? And a lot of the things that he tries to do are like insane. Like there's one part where he's like reading passages from one of her novels as an attempt to like psychoanalyze her. It's like, that would that ever fly in an American court? That sounds insane. But of course there is a reason, right? Because she has mentioned before at previous times that she draws from her life when in her writing, right? So using that as a basis for reading passages from her novel to try to suggest that this is her confessing some level of her actual feelings and that kind of thing. And like there's an argument to be made that's not ridiculous, but at the same time it's like I appreciated the response from her lawyer that's like, well, Stephen King's not a serial killer.
<You know? laughs> Right,
but like there's little things like that are so great, like the back and forth is fantastic between both sides.
But how about the fact too that at least in this kind of like trial, you can just call on the person accused to answer something, like they're not on the stand. You're almost always on the stand. Like I was fascinated by that too. Yeah. Like in the U.S., it's like usually the only time that you're speaking is when if you take the stand. Which in these kind of cases, your lawyer would almost or legal counsel would almost never put you on the stand to testify. You know, as you would not. Like, but in this, she has not only does she have to, you know, answer these questions, but she can't do it in her own language, her first language.
Yeah.
It's, there's so many levels to how interesting this whole thing can get.
Yeah. And sometimes she's even like interrupting witnesses, which is so funny. Oh, you can just talk out of turn whenever you want in French court. It's really wild. I like that. I like that we're seeing a slightly more freeform court situation than what you would expect to see from your typical American courtroom drama, which is very segmented, very, very much in its process of this thing, then this thing, then this thing, then this thing. Whereas this one takes a much more kind of like, there still is like, you know, like the prosecution will question a witness and then, you know, the defense will question the witness and all that. But there's all these layers of interruption that can take place during that are allowed, that it just seems like it's allowed for these sort of like light dips into chaos before returning to the structure, which is very interesting. But like I think the cool thing too is that it's not even like the whole movie is the courtroom drama, because the whole first like hour or so is everything leading up to it, and that stuff is really great too, because that's before we're seeing the facts just from the perspective of the jury. That's where we're seeing a little bit more information than what the jury would be privy to. And it's just enough for us to like get a really strong picture of these characters and their relationships without us having any smoking gun to know for sure what happened in the situation. Like, we see so much of the moment before the husband's death, but we don't see enough. We miss like the critical moments that would have been able to piece together for sure. And that's leaving that out is exactly what makes it so fascinating to look at in later on, because every single moment of this movie you can think about as a potential, like, not tipping you in any particular direction, but just wondering, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you see the moment from the beginning when the autopsy is happening and they see, oh, well, it looks like there's a blunt, something hit must have hit his head. Like, whether it happened during the fall, did someone hit him, and she was the only person at the house, which kind of you see the way that it all starts and kind of just starts snowballing out of nowhere. Like, she doesn't even realize that she's going to be on this kind of, this is going to happen to her. And it's when her lawyer kind of hits her with, oh, well, you know, we're going to have to say, you like basically said, we have to say that it's suicide because they have to build some argument that's not her killing him. Like, because there has to be something. So it's, he couldn't just fall. That can't be the answer, you know?
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah. And that's the tricky thing with her is that she, when she is explaining what happened, she's like ruling out all of the things that are plausible that do not involve her killing him, even though she's consistently saying that she obviously didn't kill him, or she's going to say that. But she's doubting suicide. She's doubting, like, she thinks he must have fell, but there's really no strong evidence to suggest that he would have, because she denies that he would have been drinking during the day. You know, she denies that he would have been unsafe, right? So there's all these contradictions in not what she's saying, not that what she's saying contradicts herself, but it she doesn't really think in terms of what do I need to say to give myself a good defense. She's just saying what she thinks, and what she thinks does not really paint a good picture for her. And of course, we have no way of knowing whether or not, like, she actually did it. So it just makes it more complicated when we get into the trial. Also, really quickly before we end here, I just want to say I really like the use of music in this movie, especially early on in that first scene when the dad is like blasting that steel drum hip hop song.
PIMP, the Descent cover song. Oh yeah, perfect.
Like, just everything in that moment tells you everything you need to know about their relationship at the start of the movie. it completely communicates everything about the sort of marital problems that they have and their relationship problems before we get to the point where we start really analyzing it. But yeah, this is a great movie. I definitely couldn't recommend it enough. And I recommend watching it with other people, because I like I said, I think you would have a lot of fun just kind of analyzing it with other people and kind of what their impressions of these characters are, because I don't think that everyone is going to come away from this feeling the same way about what they saw. And that's probably, you know, similar to what would happen if you were serving on a jury, right? Because there's so much interpretation involved. And I think you could end up having some really interesting conversations, even on that level. But beyond that, it's also just a great character drama with really, really strong characters and really, really strong performances, and very, ultimately very moving. So I would definitely recommend seeing Anatomy of a Fall. I think you all would enjoy it. You can definitely find it on streaming. I think that it's on demand right now. I think it's like a small amount of money, but it's not, I don't think it's streaming for free anywhere yet, but it probably will be soon. And maybe it'll end up back in theaters when we get closer to the Oscars. But yeah, that's all I gotta say. Any final thoughts, Connor, real quick?
Go check it out. My favorite movie of the year. I mean, it'll be nominated for multiple things. Best, you know, foreign language film or international film, whatever. I can't remember what they call that category anymore. Yeah, I mean, it should be nominated for Best Picture, too, I imagine.
Cool.
For the Oscars.
All right, everybody. We will see you next week.